Notice how often in our hymns we close them by singing about our death and what we desire the Lord to do for us at the time of our dying. Please turn in the Bible to James chapter 2, and we'll look at the text that will hold our attention for our meditation this morning. James 2, and we'll just read verses 25 and 26. James 2, 25, the Word of God. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, the grace of God never ceases to amaze us. And when we speak about grace, we speak about undeserved loving kindness or unearned blessings, unmerited good things that have been showered upon us, things that there is no reason in looking at us why we should receive them. That's grace. And electing love, the love of God that has chosen those whom He will save, always surprises us. It makes us stand amazed and sometimes makes us laugh for joy at what God has done in salvation. In James chapter 2, we've been considering Abraham, the faith of Abraham. Well, everywhere in the Bible, Abraham is the example of faith. The very first time the word faith is used in the Bible is in Genesis 15:6, where Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And ever after, those who are believers are called the sons and daughters of Abraham, because they believe as Abraham believed, and they receive all the gifts of God's grace through believing. So Abraham, this great man of God, this patriarch of the Old Testament, a man who really lived a very decent life and an outstanding character of the Old Testament, is set before us, the father of the Hebrew people. And we've been looking at his faith as the example of authentic faith, of living faith, of saving faith, as opposed to dead faith, or a devil's faith, or a faith that really doesn't save anyone. And suddenly, in verse 25, we read, in the same way. In the same way as Abraham's faith is an example to us, so is the faith of Rahab the prostitute. Now this takes our breath away. We can equally talk about the faith of Rahab the prostitute and Abraham, the great patriarch of the Old Testament. Both of them illustrate saving faith in an effective way. In the two or three places where Rahab is named in the New Testament, the three places she is named, in two of them she is called Rahab the prostitute, so that we don't forget what kind of a woman she was. She was a prostitute. We have it here in verse 25, and we had it in Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And I rather suspect that in heaven, she is going to bear the name Rahab the prostitute, because the very name and her very history exalts the grace of God and makes it very obvious that she did not receive any blessing because of her character or because she was a decent individual, but it was purely of the grace of God It was the sovereign choice of God. And nothing in her attracted that attention of God or that favor of God. It was something in God's heart that decided that He would bestow favor upon Rahab the prostitute. Well, it is so important to notice this fact because Jesus is able to save all that come to God by Him. He saves prostitutes like Rahab. He saves blasphemers and persecutors of the church like Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. He saves greedy tax collectors like Matthew and like Zacchaeus. He saves wild men who are filled with evil demons. And these are the very people we tend to stay away from and think that they are not very good prospects to receive the grace of God, the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. So we must not forget that Rahab was a prostitute. Of course, we read that God saved her from destruction and God saved her from the fate of the Canaanites. You remember in the Old Testament it said the iniquity of the Canaanites was full and God determined to destroy all of them, and so He gave their land to the Hebrew people who conquered them and destroyed large multitudes of these Canaanite people. But do you recall what happened to Rahab after that? After she was delivered from Jericho and the destruction of the city? Do you remember that she became the wife of a prince of Judah named Salmon? And by Salmon, she had a baby named Boaz, who married Ruth. Why was Boaz not as prejudiced against a heathen woman like Ruth, coming from a Moabite country? Because his mother was a Canaanite named Rahab the prostitute, who, being saved, then became the great-great-grandmother of King David of Israel, and therefore of the line of the Messiah who came into the world and saved men from their sins. Not just Jewish women, not just decent women, but Rahab the prostitute. You read of her in Matthew chapter 1, in that very context, that she was one of the ancestresses of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. She was then a brand plucked from the burning. I'll never forget, as a boy, sitting at a campfire and a scoutmaster pulling a stick out of the fire, and while the flame went out and then the smoke began to die down from that stick, he talked about that phrase out of the Old Testament, a brand that was plucked from the burning. She was part of a wicked, wicked people, and she was as wicked as any of them, and God's destruction was upon them, and it was imminent upon them, and that one brand was plucked out of the burning while the rest were consumed in the fire. Who can understand then the depth of God's mercy, which has compassion on the worst of men and the worst of women, the chief of sinners, as Paul put it? Who can imagine what went on in the sovereign mind of God when He decided, I will save this person and I will pass by this person? As He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace, that no one may think that he is too much of a sinner to be saved by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. No matter how far you have fallen, Christ is able to save you from your sins. And He has saved some who are worse than you who are here this morning. And that all of us may realize that we're not very different from Rahab the prostitute, maybe a little in degree, But it's not because of anything good in us that we have become Christian. It humbles us to hear about Rahab the prostitute being a model of faith in Old Testament and New Testament. And so that the self-righteous may know that publicans and harlots enter the kingdom of God before Pharisees do. How many have not believed to the saving of their souls who look down on sinners around them? And when they read the paper, they shake their head and they click their tongues and they say, "Well, I know that I'm not that bad. I know I haven't gone that far yet." But they have not believed either to the saving of their souls, and Rahab the prostitute did. And God wants to make you jealous of Rahab. Just as He made the Jews jealous when He saved the Gentiles. One of the reasons Gentiles all over the world are being saved is to make the Jews jealous that they were the chosen people of God and they wouldn't believe on the Messiah, but here are Gentiles all over the world believing in their Messiah. You were raised in a decent family. You were made to walk a straighter line than Rahab the prostitute did, but she believed. Why don't you believe? God wants to make you jealous by her faith. First, we're going to think about the circumstances which make her faith spectacular. And we're going to emphasize again her character, which made her an unlikely subject of the saving work of God. She lived a life of ill repute, of open immorality. Immorality of the sort that every conscience says, that is really bad. Now, there's some fine points that Christians have to say this is a sin and most of the world disagrees. But this is something that nobody in the world doubts is a really bad sin, to live as a prostitute. She had no religion, and she made no moral effort in her life. Somewhere along the line in her life, she lost all self-respect and all self-control, and she decided, I'm just going to live the way I am openly, and I'm going to flaunt it in society, and I'm not even going to pretend anymore. I'm going to be one of these wicked people in society. I will run a house of ill repute in Jericho. Now, I just want to ask the question, if there's anyone here who has so reacted to the hardships of life that you have given yourself over to some sin. You've tried many times to break wicked habits, and you've lost all hope that you'll ever change. And so you said, I'm just going to do it, and I just am what I am, and the rest of society will have to adjust to me the way I am. She took her place amongst the really low life of Jericho. But Rahab the harlot was saved. Wonders of grace to God belong. Repeat His mercies in your song, says one of our hymns. The truth is that people with a show of decency start believing their own lies and do not see themselves as great sinners. But those who abandon themselves to sin usually at least know that they are the bad people of the world. And that is the first step to salvation, knowing that you're a sinner and in need of someone's help from heaven if ever you're going to be changed. So her character made her an unlikely subject of saving grace, and the opportunities to receive knowledge made her an unlikely subject of saving grace. Because she did not live in a believing country. Well, of course, you don't either. But that made it unlikely that she would be saved. The people of her society were sensuous and lovers of pleasure and materialists and idolaters. That does sound like the United States, doesn't it? But that made it unlikely that she would be saved, living in a place like that. The iniquity of the Canaanites was now full, and they went down, down, down morally. It does sound like America, doesn't it? But that makes it unlikely that people are going to be saved. And if you were looking for one believer in Jericho, you would not look in the house of the prostitute, where all restraints were thrown off. But that's where the one and only person saved out of Jericho was found. And she had no instruction from her parents. There wasn't any family altar. There wasn't any family pew. You know, people come into church and they have their pew. There wasn't any family pew. There wasn't any family Bible. There wasn't any Christian school. There wasn't anybody that ever prayed for her. Nobody ever prayed that Rahab would become a follower of God. There was no godly example to her in the city that she grew up in. Not one. Not one example. She was a single star of faith in a very black place. She was the only flower in a spiritual desert. The only source of information that came to her that led to her faith was gossip at the city gate or in the marketplace. News was filtering in. News kept coming to Jericho that the great king of Egypt and his army was destroyed at the Red Sea because a people who had been slaves in Egypt had a God in heaven who fought for them and destroyed their enemies at the Red Sea in a miraculous way, when they were incapable of fighting any great battles. And the news of that got back to Jericho. So there were these millions of people wandering in the desert in Transjordan, and as they moved toward the north where Jericho was, they conquered Amorite kings, Sihon and Og, and took their treasures and took their lands and possessed them all because God fought for them. And now this nation had moved opposite Jericho with only the flooding Jordan River between them. And they heard that the rumor was that God had promised these people to give them all of the land of Canaan where she lived. She probably heard that their God was a God who gave them a very strict moral law to live by. They were a different people. And she noticed that when other people and even the leaders of Jericho heard about this, they all panicked. Their hearts melted with fear because this massive group of people were not very far away now, and they said they were coming for their land. That's all she knew. She never heard the voice of God. Abraham believed God. Abraham heard the voice of God. God appeared to Abraham. God never appeared to Rahab. No prophet like Moses ever came to Rahab. No one ever preached a sermon to Rahab. She just heard the rumors of these things happening. And these people were coming. Shame on all of you who have not believed. You've all had advantages far in excess of what Rahab ever had. If you haven't believed on Christ, shame on you. She had no opportunities. What Rahab had to believe was not pleasant. She believed that her nation and her city and her society was going to be destroyed by Almighty God. That's not a very good way to... You know, we want to have a happy message for people, don't we? You know, if you're going to get them into church, you have to tell a few jokes and lighten them up and make them all... The first thing that she knew was that her nation was going to be destroyed by this God. It was going to collapse. Her whole society was going to collapse. It was going to be gone. And she believed that. Now, they were across the river, and her city was protected by huge defenses, walls that were considered impenetrable in those days. And do you know that the modern scholars don't believe that God opened the Jordan River for the people to cross over into Canaan? They say that couldn't have happened. You talk to them at Dickinson College, the other universities. The great liberal, they don't believe the walls of Jericho could fall down. That couldn't happen. There's some other explanation to that. Rahab the harlot believed it before it happened. She believed that her society and her city were going to collapse. And she didn't have a Bible. These pompous believers in the human mind. Let me read again what she said to the spies who came to her. It's such a profound statement of faith. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. Now listen to this. Because the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. What a theology. I know that the God of the Jews is the only true God in heaven above and on earth below, and He's going to do whatever He pleases in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And she believed that. Shame on the scoffing liberals who don't believe God can do miracles. Prostitute puts them all to shame. So the circumstances made Rahab's faith spectacular. But the other point of our text is that her works demonstrate her faith to be authentic or saving faith. And that's the whole point of the passage in James. That when a person believes, his life is changed. Don't let anyone say, well, I've lived a wicked life, but I've believed, and I believe I'm saved, but I'm still living a wicked life. There will be good works that follow true and saving faith. And that's the point of our text. So we need to think about the great works of her saving faith. Rahab the harlot, first of all, had an active mind. As we've already read in that confession of faith, there are a lot of people today who get their Christianity from wild excitement, and some meetings that are planned for evangelism seem to be planned for people with no brains. They're unable to give an intelligent account of what did happen to them or what happened in the meeting. But Rahab the prostitute was a thinker. There was a God in heaven and a God who ruled the earth, and He was about to destroy her society. And this is a holy God. This is a holy God who is going to destroy my society. And His wrath will break on Jericho, and more than the walls is going to fall down. There's going to be a falling down of the whole society. It's going to disappear. The evil Canaanites are doomed. And since the evil Canaanites are doomed, I am going to try to hide under the shadow of the wing of the God of the Hebrews, whose God is in heaven and rules over the earth and the affairs of the earth. And I'm going to identify myself with that people. I'm going to change my allegiance. I'm no longer going to serve the land of the Canaanites. I'm going to serve the people of God. She was decided. Now, how often have you heard that the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God? But you don't think that really applies to America, do you? Where Americans are gunning down one another on the city streets for trivial reasons, gunning one another down because they like the clothes somebody else has and they want them for themselves, gunning them down for a few drugs, a little bit of money. Oh, the bloodshed of America. Millions of abortions of infant babies just because people consider it inconvenient to have them. sexual lusts indulged day by day, false gods that are multiplying just like the gods of the Canaanites, and America's proud of it. We're a pluralistic society. We're a society that doesn't believe in anything. You can believe anything, and we'll protect you in believing it. What a great principle. This society, too, is going to collapse. And it's under the wrath of Almighty God. And except you repent, you will also perish. And that just wasn't the situation of Rahab the prostitute. That is the situation of Americans who are going with the flow of a society that has forgotten God, that is filled with sensuous indulgence and materialism, and will worship any way, anything. Of course, some people think the walls of the U.S. military will save them from ruin. But if God were pleased to do so, the heart of the greatest soldiers on earth would melt with fear in a moment and collapse at His command. We live in a city of destruction. And the question is, are you going to fly to Jesus Christ for mercy? And will you become loyal to Him and say, He is the Lord. He is the God in heaven. He is the God on earth. And I am going to pledge my allegiance to Him and henceforth serve Him. And indecision is no faith. Rahab thought it through. And Rahab the harlot began to act. Some people say, as they read the story of Rahab, that perhaps the spies went into her house because she was already practicing hospitality in the fear of God. Some people say, what would a prostitute have all this flax on the roof of her house for? Maybe she had left her illicit trade and had begun to find another way to earn a living by drying out flax and processing it. Well, we're not certain of that from the story. But we know that she received the Jewish spies and hid them and advised them how to escape, and she did it with prudence. She was as wise as a serpent in knowing how the military people of her city would act and how they could escape them. I imagine she had spent a lot of her life avoiding the police and so forth. She knew how to do it. She told them how to do it. And she was not silly-headed, and she was not blundering in doing it. But then she risked her life. She risked her life for the earthly kingdom of God, to be part of the Jewish nation. She counted the cost, and she took the risk. She was not of the mood of many people in America who want a Christianity without any cost to it. If we could just have a Christianity that the whole world would approve of, if it just wasn't so difficult for our children to live like Christian people would live. If she had been like that, she could have said, well, I just don't want any trouble here. I don't want to get in trouble with the law. I'm not going to take in the spies. I believe in your God, but you get out of here. Don't cause me any trouble. She took the risk. Knowing that her society would sink into oblivion under the curse of the true and the living God, she chose life. And she paid the price. There was only a narrow way to walk, and there was only a little way to find delivery from this condemnation. Let me ask you who are here today, why do you hesitate in coming to Jesus Christ? Is it because you fear men? She knew what there was to fear from her rulers, but they can only kill the body, and after that, there's no more that they can do. But the God of the Hebrews can kill body and soul in hell forever and forever and forever. Why do people cling to a sinking ship? And then another one of her works that becomes very obvious in the story that we read this morning is that she pled for the lives of her mother and her father and her sisters and her brothers and their children too. First, she pled with the spies that they would save them. She was not satisfied to be saved alone, knowing that the destruction was real and eternal and threatening and upon her. She pleaded for their life. And when people are saved, they start praying for their relatives. They do. And then she pleaded with them to come to her house. Now that must have been a job. All the family has to meet at my house. Who was she? She was a prostitute all her life. How was she going to offer them any safety? Imagine what it must have looked like from inside the walls as those Jews every day marched around the city 7 times and went back to their tents. Maybe people started laughing at this process. What's that supposed to do? You think we'll go up in a cloud of smoke? Poof, we're going to disappear because they marched around the city? You've got to come to our house. You've got to come to my house. You have to be here under that scarlet thread. She pleaded with them to be saved. Are you still witnessing? Do you have the sign upon you of works that flow from faith? Do you really believe that there's a God in heaven? Do you really believe that there is a day of judgment? Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Do you believe that people who have not received Jesus Christ will suffer in torment forever and forever for their sins? You really believe that? Are you still pleading with people to be saved? Her work showed that she believed. These works of Rahab the prostitute are set before us in the Bible to show us that her faith was not dead. Verse 26. Now, this is an interesting illustration that's used by James. He says, as the body without the spirit is dead. Now, he's using an analogy. What is the body and what is the spirit? The body is faith. The spirit is works. Don't usually read that in the New Testament, but that's what James says. If you don't have the works, you don't have the spirit. And you don't have any life to your faith. That's his point. Many people do want to say, well, don't talk to me about good works. My religion is all about faith. And the less I have to do with good works and the more I concentrate only on faith, the more pure my religion will be. That's not what James says. Abraham's faith produced work. Rahab, the prostitute, when she believed, had good works. And so will every true believer in Jesus Christ. Faith is validated by works. Faith is confirmed by what a person does. Last week we looked at the fact that Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. 30 years later, we can see that faith at work. 30 years later, when he offered up his son on Mount Moriah, we could see the faith at work. And as a matter of fact, Leupold, the great Lutheran scholar and Hebrew scholar of the Old Testament, tells us that the construction of the word faith or believing in God in Genesis 15:6 is a construction that says he believed and kept on believing. The permanence of the belief, the continuance of the belief is being stressed, which tells us why James brings up the continuing acts of his faith 30 years later. Rahab believed and kept on believing. And she was the great-great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel. She knew that she was a sinner before God, the God of heaven and earth. She believed that he had a special people that were going to be blessed by him, both on earth and forever. She was disillusioned with her heathen culture that was without a moral compass. What are people saying about America? It's without a moral compass. No basis for morality. That's because we are tolerant of because we don't really believe everything. Isn't that wonderful about our nation? Isn't that what you're reading in the papers and hearing on the television all the time? We are so tolerant, we don't even believe that we believe the truth. You can believe anything you want to and be part of our country. You can act any way you want to and have freedom in our country. She was disillusioned with her culture. It had no satisfaction for her soul. It would not enable her to stand in the judgment before Almighty God. Do you know these things about your heart and life? Do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know that God is going to bring you into judgment? Do you believe that your society, if it does not repent, and there are no signs of that, that it is going to collapse under God's judgment? Are you ready to flee from the wrath to come? Have you turned to Jesus Christ? Have you come under the shadow of the wing of the Almighty? Have you changed your allegiance and said, "The Lord, He is God. Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to serve Him the rest of my days, whatever the consequences." That was the faith of Rahab the prostitute. The prostitute. Shame on you if you can't believe on the Son of God. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank You for the mighty work of grace that You did in the heart of Rahab. We thank You for the way the Scriptures of the Old Testament and the New keep it before us as an example of saving faith, living faith, faith that saves. Oh God, some of us feel that we are much less than Rahab, but we thank You that our little faith has enabled us to come to Christ. And we plead with You today for our sons and our daughters, for our mothers and our fathers, that You will work in them by Your mighty Holy Spirit and bring them to Christ too, before it is too late and condemnation overtakes them. Our Father, we live in the midst of such confirmed unbelief that people mock at the things that we are talking about this morning and do not for a moment believe that they are true. Oh God, work in our hearts and create a living, abiding, continuing, working faith within us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.